Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart may be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and redeemer, and might we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today, we pray. Amen. So last week at the Carols by Candlelight service, we were looking at the response of the shepherds to the message. And this morning I want to look at Mary's response to all that had happened. The shepherds and Mary had a few things in common. They both heard the message of the birth of Christ from an angel, and they all believed the message. But actually, they responded in different ways. Verse 17 of our passage tells us, and this is what we were looking at last week, that the shepherds spread the word concerning all that had been told them about the child. Verse 19 says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." And that's what I felt led to share this morning. Mary's response to all that God had been saying and her response to all that God had been doing. And I think the message this morning that I want to share has to do with what do we most treasure? And what is the meditation of our hearts? And in a sense, I think this is appropriate for the end of the year, when we're looking back on the year that has gone and we're looking forward to a new year. How much do we treasure the things of God? How much do we spend pondering these things in our hearts? So I think, Peter, that there should be a slide with the verse on that we can just leave up there as I'm sharing. But I've got 2 points this morning. Again, they're not rocket science. Number one, Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. Number two, Mary pondered all these things in her heart. So let's look first of all at Mary treasuring up all these things in her heart. Well, I have quite a clear memory about 28 years ago when Anna and I took our son John to a health care centre up in Hensford in Staffordshire. It was just a general checkup. But I just remember, and the nurse said, "I wonder what he will be when he grows up." And I'm sure that for all of us who've had children and those of us who haven't, when we see a little child, we think that, what will they be when they grow up? And if it's true for us, even more so for Mary and for Joseph as well, I'm sure, because of the exceptional circumstances of Jesus's birth. First of all, there was the visit of the angel Gabriel, and he had a message for Mary. In chapter 1, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow. And secondly, well, Mary's cousin Elizabeth was also with child. We know she was going to give birth to John the Baptist. But she said these words to Mary, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" That surely must have given Mary pause for thought. And then Mary herself was led by the Holy Spirit to prophesy in what we now call the Magnificat. The Spirit of God was upon Mary. The Spirit of God was working powerfully in Mary's life. And then we have the visit of the shepherds. And they undoubtedly shared with Mary and Joseph the message that they had heard from the angel, that the Saviour had been born in the little town of Bethlehem, and he is Christ the Lord. We're told in verse 19 that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary treasured up all these things because she treasured the things of God. All God had been doing and saying concerning Jesus. In the Old Testament, there is a similar and parallel situation. And it was Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. And for better or for worse, Joseph was the favorite. And Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. And that actually got a whole lot worse when God gave Joseph a dream. And in this dream, he saw that one day his father and his brothers would all be bowing down to him. And being rather a brash 17-year-old, he ran around telling them all about it. And it says in verse 11 of chapter 37, his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. In the Greek Old Testament, it says this, but his father preserved the word. Jacob preserved, or he treasured up, the word that had been given concerning his son Joseph. To treasure up means to keep, to preserve. And so we see, just as Jacob treasured up the word from God concerning his son Joseph, so Mary treasured up the words from God concerning her son Jesus. This, I think, is just one of the many ways in which Joseph is a type of the Christ who was to come. When we value something, we treasure it up. When we value something, we put it in a safe place, even if we can't find it later, but we put it in a safe place. And Mary treasured up all the things that had been said about Jesus and all that had happened, and she kept them in a safe place. And that safe place was in her heart. In fact, I think it is very, very likely that Mary was one of Luke's eyewitnesses whom he consulted. And the very reason that we have the narrative of the birth of Christ is because of Mary. See, Mary was the mother of the Lord. But she was also a woman who desired to learn the ways of the Lord. And she's an example for us. She was a woman of great faith. She was a woman who loved God and loved his word. And in many ways, she was following in the footsteps of Old Testament saints who took the scriptures to heart. So, for example, in Deuteronomy, it says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Of course, in Mary's day, that's just where the commandments were not. There'd become a lot of rules and regulations which are external. But they're to be on your heart. Job said, accept instruction from his mouth and lay up his words on your heart. The psalmist said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Indeed, the whole part of the whole essence of the new covenant is that God gives us a new heart. And he writes his law upon our hearts. Do we treasure God's word? Do we love him first? Jesus said in these words that are always a challenge to us, I think, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We don't have to be perfect. In fact, I would say we don't even have to be Christian to set our hearts on these things to begin seeking God. Seeking the things of God. Those things which we find as we turn to that narrow way, those things that are eternal and will last forever. So we can see where Mary's heart was. And Mary's response wasn't just a one-off when Jesus was born, but we can see that Mary was really a disciple. And it became a way of life. Jesus, aged 12, got lost, in inverted commas, but he was found in the temple. And when he was found, he became obedient to his parents and went back to Nazareth with them. And it says at the end of Luke chapter 2, remember this is 12 years later, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Let's think secondly about Mary's, well, I was going to say pondering, but the word really means to meditate on, to consider, to think about, to reflect deeply on, to weigh up. Now it says in Psalm 119 that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We're called to meditate on, to think about, reflect deeply upon God's word. And as we do, we will hear God's voice more clearly. And as we do, we will find that his word becomes a light to our path. It's not something that just happens. It's not automatic. We need to be intentional about it. And I think the only way that we're really going to be intentional about it and find that motivation is when we really see where our true treasure lies. Ultimately, we're very much part of this world and living in this world, we recognize that. But ultimately, our treasure are not in the things of this world. Our treasure are in the coming kingdom. Think of Joseph for a moment as a very practical example. Because he was a man who considered deeply and reflected and meditated on as well. He discovered that Mary was pregnant. Well, if we were in a similar situation, particularly if we're male, I guess, but it can work the other way around as well, how would we respond? Choices to make. We all face choices every day. I would suggest that many men would react in anger or even rage at Mary's perceived unfaithfulness. He could have just decided to name and blame Mary, expose her to public disgrace. But he decided against that option, we're told, because he was a righteous man. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 tells us that Joseph considered his options. The word actually means to meditate on. And this is what we should do as well. when we face situations, rather than just flying off the handle. Joseph sought to respond in a godly and a spiritual way to a situation which must have been very, very hard for him on face value. And actually, he came up with a very reasonable option, which actually we could say was a godly response, to divorce Mary quietly on the side and then to move on with his life. But actually, it was then that God stepped in. See, sometimes just our good ideas, even our spiritually minded ideas, are not what God wants. It says, after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit. See, when we ponder on, meditate on, reflect on, consider God's way for us, he promises to guide us. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. See, choosing God's way can be costly. In fact, we can say choosing God's way will be costly. It was costly for Mary because of all the misunderstanding involved. Choosing God's way can sometimes seem to be impossible. The Bible is full of examples of impossible situations where God comes through. What the angel said to Mary was something that was seemingly impossible. And Mary thought so as well. She said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And then the angel explained to her that it would be a work of the Holy Spirit. And Mary seemed to be happy to accept that. She said, behold, I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. That was Mary's faith. That was her commitment. And these are the kind of things that Mary must have pondered in her heart, and it must have lifted her faith. Today is the last day of 2023, and I wonder what 2024 is going to bring. I think, first of all, it's always a good time to examine ourselves and to ask ourselves, where did the true affections of our hearts lie? What are those things that we truly treasure? And I would say we don't need to look further than the manger with the baby lying on a bed of straw. It was later that the Apostle Paul said, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. And so as we go into 2024, let's treasure him above all else, because he is our treasure and he is of incomparable worth. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians that it's in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Let's recommit ourselves to him who is our greatest treasure. Let's ponder the things of God and meditate on them. Psalm 111, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in him. Let us commit ourselves to following Mary's example, who treasured up all these things and pondered upon them in her heart. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, we praise and thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus. Jesus, who opened up this new and living way. Help us, Heavenly Father, to recommit ourselves to following after Christ. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are our greatest treasure. Just can have a few moments of quiet where we can respond quietly to the Lord. Amen.